CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning to you, and this is The Unview here on Cliff Central, and it's good to be with you. I can't hear myself through a microphone, am I there? Ah, here we go. Good to be with you here on CliffCentral.com, and of course the magic of radio, and it's good to be with you on a show full of entertainment and fun things. Yeah, we're in for a very exciting weekend. My name is Alan Ford, and it's good to be with you. It's good to be able to hear myself as well, which is quite important. Of course, the magic of the radio means you can get a hold of us. You can hashtag, you can tweet us, you can also get a hold of us via the telephone lines. And of course, this is the magic of entertainment and the Unview. And of course, we laugh every day. Why? Because 2017, we're going to realize who is the thin, the fat, and the fabulous. Seriously.
Yeah,
that's the key line. Seriously. So it's the thin,
the fat.
The thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Sorry, the rich. So we said we're going to be rich this year. We're going to be thin this year. And we always are fabulous. You know, you can't miss that one. We're in for a very interesting weekend ahead. Of course, one of the country's best events happen in Cape Town. It's called the Met. And I boycotted the Met for the past 5 years for a reason. It was in the Sunday Times. And I want to tell you about it very briefly before we go to our very first special guest, Fiona Ramsey. You know, 5 years ago, after being invited for 10 years to the Met by JMB, I called to see, why is it that we're not going to the Met this year? Why weren't we invited? It happens. I mean, and Rake Nietling wasn't, Leanne Diepenberg wasn't, what? Myself, Jeannie D at that particular time. And JMB turned around and said, we don't want old white people anymore. Yeah, can you believe? After putting them on Three Talk for years. Okay, old white people. This is and JMB said it directly, exactly like that. Okay. We don't want old white people. Okay. So basically, I said, well, what do you want then? Now, our consuming market for JMB is young, like 18 to 21-year-old black people, black youngsters. I'm like, that's hard tack whiskey, kind of hectic, but okay, that's just me. Anyway, I boycotted for 5 years. In that period, I was actually blessed because I happened to be in South Africa on the weekend that Simba passed away, and I was there at the scene of the accident. So it was, I was blessed because I would have been at the JMB Met. But this year, the boycott is over for a number of reasons. Firstly, Puerto Rico, Sun International have taken it over.
Oh, wow.
Which means the class is back.
Sun International?
Yes, the class is back.
You know,
no more the 18-year-olds. No more the 18-year-olds.
Yes.
Okay? It means that Investex...
You don't even understand what the Met is.
I know. Here's the other interesting thing. I'll tell you in a moment who's sitting in the studio. But here's the other interesting thing. That added to that, it's wonderful to see that Investec's involved in BMW. So we're taking the whole thing to a new level, which is great. So the Mets this weekend, I'll be reporting about it, reporting on it next week. I do want to say one other thing. That when Penny Sparrow turned around last year, December, and made horrific statements about comparing black people to primates, this country was in an outcry, and rightly so. And I'm going to say this, that when pastors stand on stages and condemn gay people, and restaurants at the lakeside turn around and say, we'll not accept gay people for date night in their restaurant, and go public with it, that has to be condemned as much as saying that white people and old people or older people are not allowed at the JMB Met.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because we can't have one for one and one for the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so down on JMB, and by the way, F you bastards. Bye. Yeah. I guess we're going to drink Johnny Walker Black.
Oh, yes, we are.
And vodka and mum champagne just to punt the shit out of you people. Excuse my language, just that emotional outburst doesn't often happen. That all being said, special guest in studio, we'll be chatting to the cast of West Side Story. We've got Chris Jafta, Bianca LaGrange, and Linnell Kennard. They're in studio. We've got Chatty Maddie also going to be joining us in a second. Andre the hilarious hypnotist is coming on. Tim Pluman. We're going to talk about the restaurant of the week in Sedgefield called Zucchini's. And my very first guest is on the line. And it is, I believe, this is going to win the awards. I believe this is like the show of the year. It's a play called Blonde Poison, and it's based on a woman called Stella Goldschlag, okay, who lived illegally in war-torn Berlin. When offered a chance of saving herself and her family from the death camps, she becomes basically a catcher for the Gestapo, giving information on the Jews in hiding. It's a one-woman play, and it's played by the phenomenal. And, of course, it's South Africa's very own Meryl Streep in many respects. Fiona Ramsey, thank you for joining me on the line. How are you, Fiona?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm great. Great, thank you.
Sorry about my emotional outburst at the start. But, you know, sometimes you have to say things. Tell me about Blonde Poison. It sounds incredible.
Well, it's really been an extraordinary journey. It's written by my sister-in-law, Gail Lowe, who actually wrote Miss Dietrich Regrets, which I did 2 years ago. So it's another German, slightly different German. But, you know, the play is harrowing, it's gripping, it's riveting. But it deals with really interesting issues, which I think are really pertinent now. Audiences just—you cannot hear a pin drop in the theatre, which is just an extraordinary experience for both performer and the audience. And it's happened, you know, that sometimes happens in a performance, but it's been happening consistently every night. We were full last night, and we had some American students from an American exchange program. We had King David students in, and of course, public. And, you know, it seems that young, old, everybody, you know, gets something out of it. People are in tears. People are angry. People, and we have Q&As afterwards. People come and talk to me. It's amazing. But the story, you know, basically is about what you would do to survive. And do we judge people and how they survive? And I think the resonance of the play goes back to our apartheid era. Mm. There were many spies in that era that, you know, turncoats to survive. Rwanda, you know. I think what the play is almost saying, it's almost like a warning for the other side of the globe, where we have a very populist person that's just come into power who is espousing a lot of nationalism, if you know what I mean, that in any, you know, oppressive regime like that, or, you know, a regime which cracks down, you know, these sort of things happen, you know, an oppressive regime breeds this sort of stuff. So there's also, it raises issues of refugees and what's happened to the refugees from the Holocaust and how America closed its doors and Britain closed its doors. And maybe they could have diverted the magnitude of the Holocaust. So, and, you know, we've got lots of refugees in the globe at the moment. It's a very pertinent issue. But it's an amazing piece for for an actress. It's wonderful. It's actually a wonderful gift. And it's very personal because it's written by my sister-in-law and contains a lot about her mother, who was a German Jewess who had to flee before she was put on a train when she was 13. So it's got a lot of emotional context for me.
Is it based on, because, you know, I've watched quite a few films around Nazi Germany and around the woman at the time. You know, this particular character is dubbed as the Marilyn Monroe of Berlin, and hence the Blonde Poison. Is it based on any particular historical character?
Absolutely. Stella Goldschlag actually existed.
Oh, did
and
she?
That's
okay.
Her real name. Oh, yeah. Okay. And actually, there's a book written about her called Stella, where they call her the Blonde Poison. She was very pretty. She was blonde. And obviously, that's why she could get away with being a Greifer, a catcher, as you mentioned earlier, because she was blonde. And as she says in the play, we didn't look Jewish. So, you know, Jews aren't blonde. So, you know, that was why she got away with it. And also, I suppose, the Nazis thought, you know, treated her like she was Aryan. So she kind of started adopting, you know, enjoying that privilege, I suppose. And it's a question of what, you know, she tried to save her parents. Then she tried to save herself. And ultimately, she ended up 10 years in a Russian camp doing hard labor. And her child was taken away from her. So it's a very complicated story, but told, I think, quite brilliantly, because Jana Ramos-Violante directed it. And, you know, it's a memory play. It's almost like a documentary style, which actually gets to the core of it more than if it was sort of reenacted. So the style of it is interesting. It's got beautiful lights, the beautiful light by Alex Farmer, beautiful sets, which we designed. And, you know, it's just an extraordinary experience. It's one of those magical moments in theater that just happened. And I've had phenomenal reviews, which, you know, it makes it all that much more special.
And, of course, it plays until the 4th of February, so it goes on. Yeah. Are you taking it around the country at all?
You know, it's very difficult to do that, Alan. You know, you need a lot of money. If the Met wants to come on board, they can sponsor me.
I know. We know people.
That is always a challenge, you know, with theatre. But we actually, by public demand, we're extending by 2 nights because we can. So we're going on for the 7th and the 8th, which is a Tuesday and a Wednesday, because we've had such overwhelming response. I don't know whether it'll come back, but we're looking into taking it further afield. But, you know, I'm a lecturer at WITS now. I'm Mrs. Performance. So Mrs. Performance Coach. So, you know, that's also a challenge because I'm doing my PhD. So I have to put my head down and knuckle into my books. But, you know, it's a great life juggling all these different things, and they all kind of feed into each other, which is fantastic.
Matthew Coonan, who is our special chatty Matty and one of the judges and the lady, what did you think of the show?
Oh, well, now I'm giving myself away, aren't I, here?
Oh, no, just what did you think of the show? Yeah.
Well, I love Fee. I'm biased towards Ms. Ramsey. But Fee, what a performance. You held that stage for, what's it, about an hour and 20, hour and a half almost?
Yeah, it's about an hour and 15. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And I sat there captivated from beginning to frickin' end. Seriously. You are a tour de force, and I think you are put to your paces in that role. So, thank you.
I look forward to seeing it next week. We're going to chat about it next week on the show, and hopefully give it a last punt before you end your run. Fiona, you are exceptional. We look forward to seeing this production, and of course, what is next for you?
Well, there's a whole lot of things in the pipeline for the second half of the year. But last year I did a play called If We Dig, where I played Luli Kalinikos, who is an art historian and actually contributing to the decolonization of the curriculum, whatever that means, and the implications of it. And that is supposed to be coming back to the Market Theatre. But there are loads of things in the pipeline, which I can't really talk about. But for the first 6 months of this year, after Blonde Poison, I have to put my head down and get into my books. That's what I'm doing.
Be good. That is a force to be reckoned with, Fiona Ramsey. And sorry if I compared you to Meryl Streep. I must say, you know, you're brilliant in your own league.
People have compared her to me, I have to say.
I know, I should have. Yeah, I thought so. That's why I said it.
I'd love to know what Fee thinks of Trump, though.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful time.
We love it. That is Fiona Ramsey. And, of course, Blonde Poisons. A few more days that will run at Theatre on the Square with Daphne Quinn, of course. And that will be fantastic. And, I'm looking forward to seeing it next week.
You must.
Great to have a force to be reckoned with on the show. To open, hear the unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
She's just fabulous, isn't
hello,
she?
Hello, Matthew.
Hello, gorgeous.
How are you doing?
Fine, and you?
So good to see you.
Yeah.
I know you missed my rant earlier, but I'll tell you
with
about
their
it.
Rant?
Yeah, proper rant. Yeah. You know, I don't often rant.
No, never.
Not me. It's not no, never. No drama here. So, other great news. A press release arrived on my desk this week saying Tim Plumen, Caveman, goes to Vegas.
The caveman
goes to Vegas. And on the line, we've got Tim Plumen. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. How's it?
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. This is great news. You're off to Vegas. Tell us about it. How did it happen?
Well, this is the 20th year anniversary of defending the caveman. I started the show in 97, and so 2017, and they said, listen, we've got to celebrate, we've got to do a big celebration for this particular event, so please come and do a show in Vegas for us at the D. And I was delighted. I said, well, thank you very much, and we'll see where it goes from there. So the idea is that we'll roll it out at a show in Vegas as a kind of showcase for the internationals, and then we'll move from there to other spots around the world as we just for one-offs as a celebration year.
Now, I mean, of course, Caveman, you brought it back last year, rave reviews again, and of course, not taking away from other people that played the role, but I mean, you are Mr. Caveman. How did it go? How did your run go last year?
It's fantastic. In fact, believe it or not, it's been 2 years. I started seeing the show again 2 years ago.
Are you on my show 2 years?
And
oh, God, time's
two
gone.
2 years, yeah. It's been unbelievable. Yeah. And it's literally rolled and rolled and rolled. Last year, we played to around 18,000 people for a one-man show. That's not bad.
That's incredible.
It's done really, really. What is so encouraging about it is that it is still so absolutely relevant. And I said, the audiences are getting younger and younger. Initially, when I started, again, you know, because I did it from 97, as I said, so I did 10 years. And the guys who were coming to see the show, a lot of them were people who had seen the show before and wanted to come back and see it again. And now, this year, last year, what happened was that the younger crowd are coming back in again.
Tim, tell me something. This particular production, has it performed off-Broadway or has it been in the United States?
Oh, yes. Not my version of it.
Yeah.
No. So there is an American version of Caveman, which is an hour long.
Okay.
My show is 2 hours long. So it's much more abbreviated. It cuts out a lot of the detail and the fun. It's more like a sort of a stand-up piece that the guy does. That has run. That ran very, very successfully in the States. Mm.
Are you hoping to enter that market? Are you hoping that that Caveman and Tim Plume is able to hit the U.S.? Or at least to foreign... I think you have a South African... it's obviously very universal, but you have a specific South African point of view with some of your material.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, yeah. Peter Dirk Ace, Evita can go all over the world and perform. Are you hoping that's what you can do with this?
Well, absolutely. And especially, what is amazing is that at the moment with the situation in the world as we stand, is, for example, in Dubai, besides the Dubaians, there are 50,000 South Africans living in Dubai and working. So I get called once a month from somebody saying, oh, why don't you bring the show to Dubai?
Yeah, well, if you're going to pay for me to come to Dubai, I'll bring the show to Dubai.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the point being that if we can create that kind of vibe. I've just had now an email this past week, and my international partners in Caveman, I have international partners who run the show worldwide.
Mm.
They've been phoning me up saying, listen, we've got guys in Australia who want to take you out. So they want to bring you out to do a couple of shows. They want the South African version. New Zealand want me to go over and do the South African, this version of the show. So it's opening those doors to doing a continuous tour on. And when I do go to places, I mean, I went to, it's not overseas so far as like going to Namibia. I went to Namibia this past year. And I wasn't quite sure how it would work because of the language difference. It was unbelievable. You know, the returns on the investment of the show in terms of just the laughter that you're getting, the joy that the show brings is what I'm talking about. We're huge. So it's got such a universal appeal as long as the language isn't a barrier.
Tim, I must say, I think it's great that you're off to Vegas. I think it's absolutely superb. I'm so proud that you made, and it's not a comeback, but I'm so proud that you came to do the show again. And
thank you.
Brilliant. And best of luck. Off to Vegas.
Thanks, Max.
And by the way, get well. I heard you hurt yourself. Your knee.
Yes. No, I had a knee op. So I had a cartilage.
Caveman, you're aging, dear. You're aging.
I'm wearing out parts.
The aging caveman. Tim, thank you for joining us and be well.
Yeah. This is just one thing. If anybody's going to be in Vegas on March the 3rd, please tell them, come to the D on the Strip and see the show.
Okay, absolutely. And of course, you can go to www.thed.com. And if you've got friends in California or in Nevada, go and see it. I mean, South Africans would love to see it, so that's it.
Yeah. And if I may give a punt, I'm still doing Parkers. I'm still doing Parkers at Monte Cassino on Sundays from the 12th of Feb. Mm. So I'm going, Joe Parker, 3:30 at Parkers, and we do Caveman. It's a fantastic vibe. So come along there on a Sunday.
Let's make life very simple. If you want to know anything to do with Tim, www.timplumen.co.za, right or wrong?
Thank you very much indeed.
Or you can Facebook him. Be good. Thank you, Tim Plume, a very special guest for joining us on the line. Another great.
Hey. He's going to give Selena a run for her money, eh?
Near, far, wherever you are. I know. That is so good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Okay. So I'm going to tell you, we do the restaurant or pub of the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's always fun because there's other things to do. So I went down to Sedgefield.
Right.
I did a story for Anadinger happening at 6:30 on CakeNet, Channel 144. Don't miss it.
Fun.
And I met a man that does spearfishing. It's going to be a phenomenal episode.
Oh, I remember this episode.
Okay, it's coming now.
Yes.
Okay, this is all happening under the sea. And he was hit by a shark
right
twice. Great White. Great White. Hit twice by a Great White shark.
You didn't punch it in the nose.
No, no, wait. Listen, he didn't punch it. The man is going to be on the line right now.
Really?
Okay. But in the meantime, he owns one of the most little, fabulous little spots called Zucchini's Restaurant in Sedgefield, okay? And I've got him on the line. His name is Stephen Henning. Stephen, welcome to the show. Steve, you there?
He's on this one.
Oh, sorry. I don't know where you're Sorry.
Getting our eyes crossed. Yeah.
Steve, you there? Steve, you there? Steve's not there. Steve's not there.
Steve gone.
Steve, go and get Stephen. What is wrong with you?
He was there.
He's not there.
He's gone fishing.
Okay. Matthew, please try and get Stephen again. Let's try that one again.
Go fish.
Okay, go fish. Anyway, guys, this is the story because it's brilliant. So the man does spear. Do you know how spear fishing works?
No.
Okay, I'm going to teach you. Okay. Special guest in the studio, Chris Jafter, Bianca LaGrange, Lanelle Kennard. We'll come to you people in a moment. But you go and you free dive. Okay. You free dive down the ocean, which means you have to hold your breath for like 5 minutes, 4 minutes, okay? And then you take your spear and you shoot fish in like the wild seas. Yeah, this guy got hit by a great white shark, not once, but twice.
How does a great white hit you? Like
it takes you because you're trying to touch its feet.
With its nose, so it goes
yeah, it bumps you. Doof. No, you must understand it's a great white. So he's lucky he didn't lose his leg. Okay. Is he back on the line? Okay, we're going to talk to him now. So seriously, so this is the guy, and we have him on the show, and Stephen. Hello. Stephen, you're welcome to the show. Sorry, we crossed lines and things got missed. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
We're discussing Zucchini Restaurant, but also I was telling all the guys in studio about your experience with the great white shark and the way you were hit twice.
Oh yes, Stefan Henning, the owner of Zucchini Restaurant. Yes, are you looking for him?
Yes, please. This is really good. Yeah, I need him, please. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
You're live on radio. Call him quite quickly. Thank you.
Yeah, be there. Can we get a table for two in the non-smoking section, please?
Matthew.
What?
Classic.
What are you doing, Matthew?
Matthew.
Matthew.
One must fill up this space.
Okay. I don't know. I'm saying, why don't you get the man on the line? I'm live on it.
Yes.
Stephen.
You know where Stefan is? Someone from the radio.
That's why he hung up.
They want to speak to him.
It is Sedgefield, people.
God, this is Sedgefield. I am. I seriously run a professional operation.
Hello?
Yes, good day. Hi, how are you? Hi, Stefan there.
No, Stefan is not here at the moment.
Okay.
He will come in maybe 12 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
Did we not know this?
I don't know anything about anything. I'm dying. Thank God. Guys, it's been set up. I mean, that is what you call very... Look, I'm blushing. Have you ever seen me sweat and blush? In my whole life, it doesn't often happen.
It suits you.
Oh, please.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll come back. It really is a great restaurant. Maybe we'll look at it next week. It's called Zucchini's.
But tell us about it then.
All right, first it's in a forest.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, and it's like a saddleback restaurant.
Right.
Okay, so you can sit on like saddles and you can order at the bar.
Yeah.
You have like nice food and then you can go horseback riding afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is quite superb.
So you Did you go horseback riding?
I'm not into it. It's not my thing. Me and horses. The poor horse.
Okay. You and horses. I know you and horses. I've seen you on horses.
Where did you see me on horse?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
At the polo.
Yes, that horse. No, I'm not a horse. I've been on a camel before, but horses and I are not friends. No, because look at me. I'm not a horse. Do I look like a horse? Are you a horsey person?
No.
No, I'm not.
I mean, I like to look at them.
I love looking and touching the horses. Sure. It's very, very pretty to touch the horses. It's all good and well, but no.
Says the man with horses on his shirt.
Oh, yeah, this is a very true. I wear polo. I wear like
I'm
that.
Not into horses.
No, I'm not into horses. No, but horse racing a little bit, maybe. Polo, love it. But horse riding, no. But so you go horse riding and they make their own gin and they make their own. It's really very cool. But the most interesting was the man was hit by a great white shark. That's what I found fascinating. Anyway, moving on, as one does. This is The Unview here on cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford, and of course, in studio we've got Matthew Coonan, who is, of course, Chatty Matty. And we now move on to the order of the day. We had Fiona Ramsey on the show. We had Tim Plumen on the show. We'll try to get Andre the Hilarious Hypnotist a bit later. But West Side Story is coming to Johannesburg, and this is a biggie on a number of levels. First and foremost, I have traveled the globe.
Yes.
I've seen Wicked 8 times. Lion King 7 times, Jersey Boy 6 times, seriously. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Miss Saigon. I've seen the Carole King story.
Beautiful.
I've seen all this stuff. Okay.
Now you're just showing off.
I've seen Annie, The Sun Will Come Out, a lot of stuff. Okay. I've never seen West Side Story. Two shows I've never seen. Like West Side Story and Sunset Boulevard. Do you know I've never seen them?
What?
Yeah, can you believe that?
Two classics.
And I've never seen them. So I am so intrigued by this because it's so good to be able to say I'm coming from a point of view where I don't know what it's about. So my special guests in studio are the stars in the show. Jonathan Rocksmith is not with us, but we've got Christopher Jafter, well-known actor, well-known presenter. Of course, he's on Top Billing, used to be on Isidingo. We've got Lynelle Kennard, who is on Purcell, and of course, well-known actress. And of course, we've got Bianca LaGrange, who is singer, songstress. My mistress.
Alice.
My Alice.
I'm going to change my name to Bianca LaGrange Alice.
You're going to grab this microphone first because I've got to tell you the story of how I met Bianca LaGrange. Do you want to hear?
Of course.
15 years ago, 2002.
Keep it clean.
Gareth Cliff has an idea. Ellen, we're going to send you off for the Idols auditions because you can sing. Okay. And you're going to report into us about what this Idols thing is all about. Opening year of Idols. Gareth is not the judge. It's got Penny Libiani. You've got Dave Thompson. You've got Randall, who's the only constant that's actually been there throughout the period. And we've got Marcus Brewster. Okay.
Wow.
Now, Alan Ford, big and plump as he is, decides to go off to do the Idols experience because, of course, we've been watching it with Simon Cowell all over the UK. And what do? Is I go to Gold Reef City and I stand in a line. And of course, no, we have to go through the process. I didn't get any special treatment. We went through the whole vibe, room A, room B, and I stand in a line next to a girl that is going ahead of me to now perform in front of the judges. And we start to warm up our voices. And the song was Oh Happy Day, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
And then you just helped me just to hold, because I sang Lean On Me, to kind of get that going. Okay. Yeah. Bianca LaGrange walks in. I've got a microphone, and I listen at the door. And this girl belts a song. What was the song? Do you remember?
It was The Greatest Love of All.
Whitney Houston. Okay, I remember it like yesterday.
Quite from magic.
And there's this girl with this hair, and she's got this, she's playing the whole flats thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I love my boo, and the whole vibe, and she's loving me, and she's grabbing my titties, and we're all going crazy. It's fun. Okay, and she sings The Greatest Love of All. And I've got to come in after that. Now, I can sing. I get told politely, listen, you could do it by yourself. So we're not letting you in. But it was a great experience. Actually, I was quite offended because I thought I should have gone forward. But I'm happy I didn't. I was on radio at the time, on 702 with Gareth. And, of course, there was Miss Bianca LaGrange. And that's how I met her. I met her on another occasion. Besides getting interpersonal, is that we went along to the fourth final episode, the final four.
Final four.
And Bianca was voted off by the public.
Yes.
Jeremy Mansfield, we love Jeremy, walks in because we used to on used to be a channel called Idols Extra. So you used to be able to, it wasn't the Movie Magic channel. You had Mnet and then you used to go off and watch another channel. To go and get your post Miss South Africa, post Idols, and they used to invite journalists or talk show hosts or opinionated humans to come and sit in a room in a side studio at Mnet, and we used to interview the off-going Big Brother or off-going Idols presenter, and that's what we did. And there was Bianca, and she sat down, of course, in shock that she didn't win it. She was in the final
four.
Correct. You were in the fourth. Mm-hmm. Right. Elephant doesn't forget. And Jeremy Mansell says, with a beer in his hand, Jeremy style, how the F does this happen on live TV? Called everybody a racist. You whites had watched this Mnet.
Yeah, but I was told by a journalist, don't tell them you're not white. Everybody thought I was white. And then that week when I was voted out, they came
crazy.
To Aldo's.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you are Eldorado.
Yeah,
you are. Seriously.
No, but it's
but life,
the way it should have.
Exactly. The
I'm
calls,
so
the cards will fall as they may.
Yes.
And as they must. But a very interesting little story. And I've seen you grow through time. I've seen you from Madame Zingara to doing your own music, to Swing Sisters, to...
You remember Swing Sisters?
Years.
It was my very first show that I wrote.
I know.
City.
How do I know this? I know people.
No, you do.
People who need people are the happiest people in the world.
But we've done many corporate shows together as well, so
So it's such a pleasure to have you in the studio. But I had to relay that story, that there standing in the gold room, sitting in the queue, was this person. And that was just a great experience.
And one of my fondest memories of you is you interviewed me.
Was I wearing clothes?
You were wearing clothes. It was you, Gareth, and Udo at 702
yes.
who were interviewing me. And it was not long after I got voted out.
Yeah.
And I was so smitten. I'm meeting Gareth Kofu, you know, and Udo and Alan Ford. And it was just one of those really lacquer interviews. You know, you get interviewed and the interviewee just wants to talk all the time. And ik praat baie, I talk a lot. So give me a chance to talk. And I just wanted to tell my story. And they allowed me, and that was one of my favorite all-time interviews, actually.
It was brilliant. And look at where you are. 15 years.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Can I hop in there very quickly?
Yes, you can.
Because
you can hop because you're so small, you're like a little bunny. Pop, hop, hop, hop. Oh, I love you. You know, I'll hold my hand.
Check his face.
Oh, he's so hot.
You can't see this.
He's so hot.
I wanted to say, that very same group, do you remember, I was 16 at the time. And I was in your group when we were going through the top 50, and they gave us Paradise Road. I think the girls were singing.
Yes. Oh, were you in there?
I couldn't even remember my name. I was so shit scared, excuse me saying. I was so nervous. I remember that camera coming around, and they said, so what's your name? Number 4895 was my number. And I think I turned back to you guys, and you went, your name's Matt. I was in a group.
He did.
Really?
Totally. He was 16 years old when I met him.
That's all 2002.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Totally.
Amazing.
It was an interesting year. Because that year, we did Breakfast Show in 702, Gareth and I. Things had changed. It was unusual. The whole of the reality TV, we had Big Brother the year before, I think. Actually, 2001 we started. But the world is interesting.
I spoke to Leanne Liebenberg at the Queen's Plate, and she said, babe, in our time, we didn't have all this Twitter and Facebook.
We didn't have any of that.
Imagine if we did. What would have happened? I know. We were one of the first, I think.
Then I had the pleasure of meeting Christopher Jafter's mother.
My mom's a lovely human.
I love her.
Everyone loves my mama.
I love
my papa.
I loved her because I thought to myself, I'm on cake. We need some Christopher stuff. We need some. So I just sprayed it all over you. We need some magic. So, by the way, I'm looking for people. Hey, just stick around. Hey, stick around. We're loving this vibe. Can you all Afrikaans praat?
Yeah,
I know, I don't really. So that's what I need. I'm producing quite a lot of Afrikaans TV. So I was like, Christopher, I'm taking away from your TV show and I'm going to give you a new show, which is still in the pipelines. We'll come back to that later. But Chris, again, an amazing. Tell me about your start. I mean, I discussed Bianca's start in 2002. Now, all of a sudden, how did you begin in this game?
Bianca and I actually went to school together. You know that?
Jesus.
Bianca's been here. She's been around. Bianca's been around.
Did you ever date?
No.
Did you ever kiss?
No.
Was she older than you?
Every night.
What do you mean? I know you kiss him
now. I kiss him. I put it in there. I was like, you better prick me. You better take me. This is for all them girls who can't get you.
Oh, my goodness.
Poor Maria. Sitting right over here.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll go to Maria in a moment.
Don't speak like that about my brother.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
Please. He's unhealthy. Come now.
Let's keep it clean.
People don't want to hear about
it.
I'm loving this.
No, guy. You see this man's abs. I mean, really now. Come on, man.
People go crazy. Once he takes his shirt off in the show.
Nah, they don't go crazy.
That's the best advertisement.
Really? You take your shirt off.
No. They don't go crazy because there's purpose behind it. And that's, I fought very hard to make that moment what it is. You know what I mean? Because it's not about taking your shirt off. It's an aggressive moment. It's
in the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you know anything about,
it's a full on Mitchell's Plain knife.
If you know
fight.
Gangs and
you have a vest on.
Yeah.
And you rip in the
If you know how gangs used to fight with the knives and all of that kind of thing.
There's an advertisement for the show.
Very guys, it's very serious. I'd like to see that. So it's a very serious moment in
very
this
serious.
Very dramatic very pause, very and they're going to slug each other. That's okay. I'd like. No, I must tell you, occasionally, I abs are great. It's good to have abs.
Mm.
I have lots. They're just under wraps. Double wraps. It's a bad one. Oh, no, so bad. I use it a lot. It's a pickup line. It works, actually. Seriously. You know, it also works as a pickup line, just in terms of, I'm going to ask you, like, what's your best pickup line? But seriously, my best pickup line is, some people are built for speed and others for comfort.
Oh,
come, baby, let me teach you which one I am.
Cushion for the cushion.
Okay, so, all right, so you've got abs on the stage. We're going to come back to pick up on. So tell me about your start. So you guys went to school together.
Yeah, I actually started, I was at the National School of the Arts, and I studied fine arts.
Mm-hmm.
So drawing, calligraphy, painting, jewelry making, sculpting, all of that kind of thing. People now are very sort of shocked when they hear that, because they go, okay, cool, but you're in drama, and you're an actor, and you're doing all the stuff in front of the camera and whatnot. So where did the change happen? When I left school, I did some voluntary work where we raised money for HIV and AIDS orphanages.
Yes,
in Africa,
that's incredible.
America, Europe.
Yeah.
And we did that through industrial theater. And I guess the third year that I was with them is when the bug bit. So you know what? It wasn't even a bug that bit. It was more like there was something that clicked. And I just realized that that was where my purpose was.
Is it notoriety or is it talent that you want to explore? It's an important question. A cool question to all of you.
Yeah, well, you know what? I just want to do what it is where I feel my destiny and purpose lies. Mm. So it has nothing to do with talent for me. It's all about purpose. And I think a lot of people sort of struggle to find what it is that they are here on this earth to do. You know what I mean? And if everyone is just being the best version of themselves, eventually the vehicle within which to fulfill that purpose will come along. But purpose for all of us, I think, is to be here for each other, to uplift each other, to be positive, to make sure that everybody is just on the same level, you know what I mean?
And this is incredible because your journey has taken you to that place. So when you joined Youth for Christ, you know, you went to Africa, Europe, America, you raised funds for HIV, for the orphans. I mean, this is an incredible start. Do you know what I mean? Listen, it beats Donald Trump, really, and he got there. Okay, while we're having a little bit of a dig. But it's incredible because you're starting with that intention, that basis, through dance and through drama and industrial theatre. And then, of course, then you open into to work with Richard Loring, African Footprints.
That was crazy, man.
He's crazy. And Debbie Batsoffen.
I love Richard.
Don't we love
him? I love Debbie. This is how the story went, right?
I want to hear that.
So I had never danced a day in my life. I mean, like, with this voluntary work, we kind of put a step together here and there.
Mm.
But I was never a dancer. It was hard for me to pick up choreography and that kind of thing. But when I finished my third year, my mom was like, listen, because I'd seen African Footprint the first year that I started with this voluntary group. So it was always like a dream, but like it was one of those sort of dreams up in the air where you go, this is unattainable. These guys are superb. And when I got back, my mom was like, okay, cool. You're not going to stay in this comfort zone. You're going to push yourself. There's auditions for African Footprint.
And I met his mother, Tough Cookie. And I loved her to bits.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah. And she was like, you should go for the auditions. So I was like, okay, cool. I went with my little CD. I had prepared a dance and whatnot. And I get there, and they're like, okay, cool, find a space. We're going to have class. I was like, class is a school. What's a class? So find a space and whatnot. Okay, we're going to roll down for eight, up for eight, side for eight, side for eight, tandu in first, second, third, and fourth. Plie, come back up. I was like, sorry, what? What is that? So I kind of just like eagle-eyed everyone, and people with 17 to 20 years of dance experience were being tapped on the shoulder. That was your sign to be like, okay, you've not made it. Please bounce. So my story is that I'm very flexible, and they kept trying to touch me, and I was like, can't touch this. And that's how I made it into African Footprint. I was like,
so you can't touch that.
I dodged that touch in the shoulder.
Please, West Side Story starts on it opens the 1st of February. Let me just do this very quickly, please. Please just wait for this one. He will be in a knife fight with shirtless. You can't touch it, but he is top. But he is flexible. So those are some of the reasons I would see a West Side Story.
Flex Side Story.
It's getting bad. Okay. Well, but again, career highlights, and I'm just saying High School Musical, Mamma Mia, Dreamgirls, Aladdin. Aladdin was great.
Thank you.
Footloose. Saturday Night Fever, Sleeping Beauty, the credits go on. And, of course, you got your TV credits and movie credits, and now you're doing top billing. What a career and what a life. And what a privileged life, because Great Intention starts what you did, and through the drama, the theater, the music, the dance, and look how you've been led, you see.
I was just about to say that. You know what? It's not about what you've achieved or what has come along the way. It's just about being grateful for everything that comes along. Waking up in the morning with a breath of life, you just wake up, your eyes, you open it, you've got them, you can see, you can hear, you can touch, you can feel, you can smell. That's the most important thing, you know what I mean? If you're grateful, things will come your way.
We're going to play a game in a moment, but before we do that, I want to go on to our very special other guest that's joining us.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
Linnell Kennard. So, the opera school, the Cape Town Opera School.
Indeed. You know, like,
okay, now
I studied opera.
One should never do this because it's extremely rude.
Okay.
But I'm going to get you to sing a little bit, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. What now?
Yes, right
now. Let's bring the phones up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, up we go. Up at stand, because, of course, Matt, get the microphone ready, but let's be careful not to blast it, of course. And we want to hear some wonderful opera, because, I mean, this is not an opera. West Side Story. It's not West Side Story, the opera. This is West Side Story.
I got to sing next to her, yeah?
We're going to get you to sing right now.
Gosh, I'd warmed up this morning.
Okay.
Let's go. Okay. Pay me to sing.
Okay. Can I just give you like one phrase with a high note?
Give us a verse. I mean, we have to be reasonable to judge. This is what we're doing. Is everyone ready?
Ready.
Stand by. And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage, Linnell Kennard.
Dammi tanto rifugi, sovvegni angosce tue, sovvi vuoi te, ma sento sotten te, ma ti sei.
And she hasn't even warmed up. How's that?
I can't believe you made me do that.
I know. It's so mean.
Alex.
We're horrid, horrid humans.
There's only one way I can reach those notes, bro. It's like this. That's the only way.
I can show you some other ways.
Okay. I think I'm awake now.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
Stop it,
this is a family show. Keep it clean, stay lean, eat some protein. I mean,
keep it clean.
Okay. All right. So again, from opera into you doing Purcell at the moment, but again, an incredible career. Started with David Cromer's Blood Brothers.
Yes, that I did. That was my first musical theatre show, and it was with Bianca. So I got to see her work. She played the lead of Mrs. Johnston, and I came in. I'd studied opera, but I came in like, okay, I'm ensemble, and I'm understudying her. I'm watching, I'm learning. And this woman, I mean, if you're ever going to learn from anyone, you want to be learning from the best. And she is incredible.
In this production, you play opposite Jonathan Rocksmith, and you play Maria, and you won the Fluter Cup in 2015.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is cool, because it's award-winning taking to the stage. It's like seeing Adia Menzel doing Wicked, mm-hmm. which I did see. It's incredible.
Eight times, right?
I love it. Let it go. But sorry, I've seen 4,000. I can sing every song on that. But it's my dream to bring it here one day.
Oh,
which Wicked?
Very expensive.
Very expensive.
$50 million.
Can I audition?
You know you're in already, babe. Listen, don't you understand? We like the ANC. We just bring our brothers and sisters in quickly. Let it go. Let it go.
Okay, let's go pull some snowmen.
And again, an incredible career. And new to it? What do you think of it?
You know, When I was studying opera, I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. And things didn't work out that way. But it's like Chris said, you find your destiny and your purpose as you go along, if you're open to it. And I just said, like, if things are going to happen for me, then I need to work hard and the opportunities will present themselves. And it's been like that. Even like with the presenting, it's something that came by chance, you know. So
let me give you a word of advice after close on, let's say, 20 years in the business. Almost 19 years. The more you can do, the more you can do.
Yes.
Okay, because we have a limited industry.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But also for yourself. So you look at someone like Meryl Streep, which I compared Fiona Ramsey to a little earlier. But Meryl can direct, her husband's a director, she can produce, she can sing, she can dance, she can act, she'd be on stage. You know, to be able to, you know, have an exhibition in fine arts one day, why not? Yeah.
Absolutely.
You see, that is endless possibilities. There's no restrictions in life. And when we get that, that's an incredible thing. Yes. So, yes, may you go and do La Bohème and Aida. And then may you come off the stage and may you go and do... I would love someone to do Queen of the Night, by the way. I just did an interview with Mimi Kutsa. Hey?
For that, you need to warm up. That's tough F that you're hitting. It's like whistle register. Okay.
So I'd love you to do that. But and then to be able to do West Side Story and to go and do Pacella and then to do radio and to then, why not? And, and at the end of the day, if you turn into a top businesswoman or a speaker for TED Talk, why not?
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm having the time of my life, and I can't believe I get paid for this. Like, is this your job? Is this your life?
That's the passion, you see.
It's insane.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's magic stuff. Bianca, sit down, please.
I'm sorry, I'm live on Instagram, so if you want to...
Live on Instagram. Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry.
Hey. Everybody's sending me a lot of messages.
What's the hash? The hash, what's the...
Bianca underscore L-E underscore Grange. Yeah. Not Lagrange.
It's Lagrange. Ni Lagrange, ni Lagrange. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So now, we've got some time left on the show because we can't seem to get two of the other guests, which is great. I've got more time with you people. I'd love you in for one-on-ones because we'll do some other fun stuff in future.
Absolutely. Mm.
What I do want to ask you is, you and Jonathan, obviously, do you guys sing together, the three of you?
Well,
The three of us. I don't sing at all.
This
is like one of the first musicals that I don't sing in.
Yeah.
Are you Bernardo?
Yeah.
He's Bernardo.
Bernardo.
Do you not have that thing at the end of the first act, that like quintet where everyone's singing?
We do the quintet, but it's everyone singing together.
Together, right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you singing together?
So I'm basically ensemble.
Ah,
it's okay. So funny it's
but you have
such
abs.
A low register there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone was like, just
that boys are gonna get their way.
Yeah.
One of those.
Someone told me like, Chris, just take your shirt off. I was like, you sound better when you're singing.
Really?
Shots fired. You know, when in doubt, I did Top Hitting Presenter Search for for a few seasons, but I should just say that if they were hot and they were dumb, I just shirt off. I'm not saying you're not that you're dumb. I'm just saying.
What are you trying to say?
Now,
I'm saying, what are you trying to say, Alan?
A set of abs and
don't make me come over
and a set of abs and a pair of knockers. Let me tell you, you can rock a place. It doesn't have much. It's very shame. Very shame.
Well, I am inebriated with exuberance of my verbosity.
Say that again.
Say it again.
Do you understand? I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. No, that sounds very exciting, dirty. All right. So can we have a song from you, Bianca, please?
A song this time.
Why not?
Let Chris sing. Chris has a voice. Nobody's heard him sing.
But I don't sing.
Everybody
in the
knows
show,
my
so
voice.
You need
come
to get
on.
It. Okay. You need to get it.
Well, you singing for me. Yeah, this is what you're doing. Come.
Okay. Is it your birthday?
No, don't sing Happy Birthday. It's not my birthday. It's February 21st, but you can come back and sing for that one.
Okay.
Go.
Oh, it's me. Yeah. Am I singing? Okay. Now I got to take a gum out of my mouth.
I mean, who comes to a radio show?
Did you hear it?
Chris does, because he's got the abs, so he can.
Oh, yeah, he's just exactly remember the dumb thing. Yeah, we're playing with that.
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day.
Yes, baby.
When it's cold outside. I've got the month of May. I guess you'd say, what can make me feel this way, my girl. Talking about my girl. Ooh, I got so much honey.
Hey, baby.
Ooh. I haven't warmed up, as you can hear.
I have. Bianca, come.
I'm totally warmed up.
So one of my favorite songs in West Side Story is A Boy Like That, and I get to do it with Linnell, who is this incredible vocalist.
Oh yes, we can do it right now.
She drops flames like it's such a charged moment.
Okay, so this is West Side Story opens in Johannesburg the 1st of February. Okay, it's at the Civic Theatre, the Mandela Theatre. It changes its name every week. We don't know what it is anymore. Seriously, the T-Sin has gone off. The Bramfontein, the old theatre, the Joburg Civic. There it is. 1st of February. Opens. I know you got previews. Let's hear a song. This is from West Side Story.
So, let me just set the scene.
Set the scene, yeah.
It's intense. Chino has just run past me with a gun, and I've just seen him. And Bernardo was killed in the rumble with Riff.
Are you dead now?
I am devastated. Anita is so devastated. She's looking for Maria to come and console her. But she finds Maria with Tony, who killed her brother.
Yeah, Maria's brother.
And she chooses Tony over the brother.
She is livid. At this point, she's like, say it.
Then I'm like, okay, so she catches us kissing and he leaves. Tony leaves. And then I'm like, all right, now you know.
And you still don't know. Tony is one of them.
Cue music.
A boy like that would kill your brother. Forget that boy and find another. One of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. A boy like that would give you sorrow. You meet another boy tomorrow. One of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. A boy who kills cannot love. A boy who kills has no heart. And he's the boy that gets your love and gets your heart. Very smart, Maria. Very smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, I need
to know.
Oh,
no,
there we go.
Where are you
there's
using?
Maria.
Go, Maria. This is your part.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, yeah. Like, your part, your part. Go.
Oh, no, Anita, no. Anita, no. It isn't true, not for me. It's true for you, not for me. I hear your words, and in my head, I know they're smart. But my heart, Anita, but my heart.
A boy like that
knows the wrong, and my heart.
Forget that boy and
so
find another.
For
one of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. A boy who kills has no heart. And he's the boy that gets your love and gets your heart. Very smart, Maria. Very smart.
Anita, no. You should know better. You were in love, or so you said. You should know better.
Ooh, yeah! There we go.
Sweet mother of our Lord, have mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Well, guys, I love you and I thank you. I'm so inspired.
You must go see the show.
I'll be there on the
Maddie's
first.
Maddie's got gooses.
I'm so excited. I've got gooses.
Who knows?
And I'm so happy because I haven't seen it. So when I see, and I don't know the music, which is very odd for me. Seriously. So that's why I'm very happy to be able to walk into this and get completely transformed. And I don't have a comparison either, which is a good thing. Because then you come with fresh, beautiful eyes. So I saw Miss Saigon for the first time last year, the year before in London. And I was blown away because I just had missed the runs continuously. So I can't wait to see this. And I must say, in your own rights, phenomenal talents. And I so look forward to seeing where we're going to see each other in 15 years' time. We don't need 15 years. We'll be lots sooner than that. But looking for presenters on TV, don't worry. I'm coming to find. I'm very busy. I'm a cake net freak. I love cake net. I'm obsessed with these cake knickers. Mm. I'm obsessed with you people. Anyway, so that is good news. Hopes and dreams for the year. What are we expecting from you, Bianca, besides West Side Story?
I get to do a show for Women's Day in Cape Town, so people can look out for that. It's going to be a special one. I've got some treats. And I can say that Chris Jaft is in the show, as well as my husband, because I got a husband who's got a bigger and a better six-pack than Chris. Yeah. Just saying. Seven Gezi is in the
that
show.
Is so
not,
rude,
she's not lying.
So rude.
He also takes his shirt off in every show, but he's taken.
So Sev is in the show, Seven Gezi, as well as Lukman Adams, and it's going to be all for the ladies.
Lovely. How long does it run for?
It's not a long run. It's going to be 6 nights only.
And where do we follow it? How do you get
at the back? So you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook. You'll get to see it there.
Wonderful. Lynelle, what are we seeing from you this year?
Later this year, I'll be spending a lot more time in Joburg. I'm in a new epic scale musical called Calling Me Home, and that's, It's exciting. I just know it's going to be huge, and we're originating the show, so I get to like put my stamp on a character.
Besides on West Side Story, we get to catch you on Priscilla.
Yes.
And then, of course, Christopher Jafta. What are we expecting from you besides Top Billing and, of course, West Side Story?
Yes. Well, I never like to jinx anything. There are a few things that are going to be happening. I have built some really good relationships, and so let's just say some international things in the cards.
That is good. We love Aloof. West Side Story opens next week, Wednesday, here in Johannesburg. Don't miss it. And thank you very much, Christopher Jafta, Bianca LaGrange, and Lynelle Kennett for joining us in studio. Of course, Fiona, don't miss the show, Blonde Poison. Tim Pluman's off to Vegas. And I'm sorry we couldn't get him on the line, but Andre, the hilarious hypnotist, is happening at Peter Turin Theatre. You can book there. He's been around for thousands of years.
Have you been hypnotized?
I have, actually.
And?
But
what did he make you do?
I don't know. Okay. I don't remember. I don't want to go into it. Okay,
ride a horse.
And then don't forget the zucchini restaurant that we discussed. Matthew, I will see you next week.
You will.
We'll be back next week together.
Totally.
I love you too. Oh, you're so sweet.
No,
I lost the key.
Who's your sweetie?
Then the rich, fabulous.
Listen, I have a six pack, eh?
Yeah, where is it?
In the fridge.
Oh, I like it. Maybe you and I should our six packs should go play together. Okay, that's it. It's been good to be with you on clipcentral.com. The Unview, don't miss us next week. Great show, good lineup. I'll tell you all about it. You'll see it all over our feeds. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And of course, this is The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous.
The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
cliffcentral.com.